This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the August 11th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. It is Friday. Friday, end of the week, is always good, is it not? While most investors are bullish overall, expecting the markets to go up, even the most seasoned investors can get anxious from time to time, anxious about the market. So I want to help you shine. I want to shine some light on the unknowns. Make the best possible choices that we can all make. And I try to answer your questions live during this hour, as you know, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your question on the 24-hour Lynchland line as well. Same number all the time, 888-99-CHART. And we'll get to that in a minute. They have their place, but should your portfolio size allow for sufficient diversification, consider the benefits of owning direct holdings of stocks and bonds. What's wrong with mutual funds? That's going to be our main talking point today. Anyways, let's check our 24-hour listen line right now. Let's go ahead and do that. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hey, guys. My name's Philip. Love your show. I was calling about Coke today, C-O-K-E. I saw it was down after an earnings report. I think it's a solid company, and I plan on holding stocks for around 40 years or so. So I was just wondering if today is a good buy. If not, what you think a good buying point might be. If you could give me some information, I'd love it. Thanks.
Well, there wasn't much. It's KO. It's a symbol, Coca-Cola Corporation. There wasn't much down move, really. I mean, even with the bad market, I mean, today it was down only 0.33%, down 15 cents. So there has not been much weakness in Coca-Cola. Everybody knows who they are, manufacturing non-alcoholic beverages, concentrates, syrups, sold to C-O-K-E is what he mentioned, but he said Coca-Cola. Okay, the two companies are Coca-Cola and Coca-Cola Bottling. Okay, so C-O-K-E is Coca-Cola Bottling. That's a $2 billion company. Produces non-alcoholic beverages primarily under the brand's license from the Coca-Cola Company. So this is not, when you talk about something to hold for 40 years, I think it'd be smarter to buy Coke, C-O, just K-O, not Coca-Cola Bottling Company. Two very different companies, related, of course, but this is a small one, this C-O-K-E, Coca-Cola Bottling. They're small, and yeah, they did have a big down day. If you're going to hold for 40 years, I suggest you hold K-O, not C-O-K-E. Nothing wrong with C-O-K-E. Don't make mistakes. It's growing. Sales are growing very fast. Earnings are going up, but it's also pretty pricey right now, even after the big fall. We were talking about a company that's going to make $10.02 and a $208 price. So you're looking at a 20 P.E. after it fell from 240. Now, if you really want to buy this, it looks like you're going to get some opportunity here. The 200-day moving average is $193, and I think 200 is a very strong support number. So this maybe not today, because you want to wait a few more days to see what it digests those numbers and that big down day it had. But this is the area you would probably like to pick it up if you're going to buy C-O-K-E, Coca-Cola Bottling versus Coca-Cola Company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. They're not always easy to stick to, but having a plan is a much safer way to invest than just going with the flow. And the true test of a long-term successful investor is how they react to challenges, which we all interpret as downturns. If the market of the moment soured you on stocks or anybody else, some people will move their funds into fixed income investments. I'm talking about bonds. Bond prices tend to move inversely to the stock market. So when stock prices fall, bond prices usually rise. And there are all kinds of bonds, corporate bonds, government bonds, municipal bonds. The corporate bonds are all issued by large corporations, but there's all kinds of quality of corporate bonds. Remember, a bond, you're lending the company money, and they're using that money. That's what a bond is. What are the cautions with bonds? What kind of risks are there? They will lose value if interest rates rise, but you know they go to par when they mature. Maybe you should build a bond ladder. That, I think, is the best way to do it, as opposed to buying bond funds. Build a bond ladder. Do you have questions about bonds? I'm ready to help in any way I can. 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the phones.
Hello, Steve. First of all, thank you for your advice on air and off air. Great show. I have a question. I'm about to start a new job, and the company does not match in the 401k. They do provide 401k, but do not match. And I was wondering if it is advisable for me to put my money in their 401k or put it in an IRA. I have 401k investments in two other previous employers, and I just want to know what your suggestion is, if I should go with an IRA or go with this company's 401k that does not match. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, if the company doesn't match in your 401k, and that's what they offer, 401k, but have no match, I would rather see you I'd rather see you put it in an IRA and max that out. But there's a limit of only $5,000 or so, where in a 401k, it's a lot higher, you know, $17,000, $18,000. So max out the IRA and then keep investing in the 401k. Also, I'd roll over any old 401ks into IRAs and then combine them. Combine your IRA and old 401ks. Combine them. Gives you a lot more flexibility in buying whatever you want. You know, you can do whatever you want. Why would you keep them separate? There really is no good reason, because there's fees associated with 401ks or fees associated with IRAs. But if you have, why have two sets of fees when you can just do one? So I would definitely roll them in. And I do the IRA first, max that out, then go to the 401k. So what's wrong with mutual funds? That's one of our talking points. I also want to maybe talk about the weakness in the market may not be caused by North Korea this week. What are some of the other things that could be causing that? PPI, CPI, those are Producer Price Index and Consumer Price Index, inflation gauges. Did you see what they came out and said yesterday and today? I want to talk about those and relate it to the Fed and what they're doing. I also want to talk about, which I didn't get a chance to do yesterday, and that is the scariest chart in the financial markets. And these are, I'm talking about bonds this time, corporate bonds and how they relate to bonds, the junk bonds in Europe. And I still want to talk about jobs openings. I have not been able to get to that in the last couple of days, so I'm hoping to get to those. I have an email question, and I want to get to that too, which is a pretty interesting one, I think. So we're busy today. The market was up, actually. The Dow was up 14. The Nasdaq was up 40, which was a pretty good move. But remember, it was down big yesterday. And the S&P up 3. So it was a positive day. And that's not bad, a bad thing, especially going into the weekend, because everybody's worried about North Korea, which, you know, I don't know if that's the reason why the market fall, but that's the reason that's the excuse we're all pointing to. At least all the news media is pointing to it. Why the market was weak? Oh, it's because of North Korea. I'm not convinced of that. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART is how to get through. We'll talk about your money. Warren Buffett once said, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. Are others greedy now, or are they fearful? Well, if they're greedy, you should be fearful. When investors are fearful, worried about poor condition, it is time to buy. But that's not as easy as it sounds, is it? Let's talk about it on Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve. This is Shannon in Palm Beach, Florida. I had a question about the medical company Cutera, C-U-T-R, that is. And they sell lasers and aesthetic devices to improve skin like tattoo removal, cellulite reduction, and wrinkle reduction, etc. I know a little bit about the company, and I think they're moving in a good direction. They're fairly young but growing, and they think they just went up like 25%, and I put some money in, and just wanted to hear your feedback on that maybe industry and that company and what you thought. I'm a listener, and I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Cutera, C-U-T-R. It is a very, very small company, $472 million, so it's a micro cap. Develops laser and other light-based systems for effective, non-invasive or minimal invasive aesthetic procedures. So in other words, as you point out, removing tattoos and those kinds of things. They're growing very fast. For years, they made no money. Then in 2016, all of a sudden, they got it turned around, made 43 cents. This year, they're going to make 55 cents a share. Next year, 71 cents. Sales are growing 30-plus per quarter the last couple of quarters. Before that was in the 20s. So they're picking up. They're gaining traction. They're doing well. You're going to have, and the stock has made new highs. I mean, it's popped up very strong. I mean, it was below 12 a year ago. Today is 34. And just 4 or 5 days ago, it was 26, and it popped up to 34, probably on earnings. So you're chasing performance here, though. This is what you're chasing. The PE is 70. Now, it deserves to have a high PE because of the high growth. But I don't think I'd chase it. I'd wait for a pullback. I just have trouble when a stock makes 71 cents, I don't know if I want to pay $34 per share. Think about how much that is. Okay? That's like, you know, that's like a 40 to 50 PE, still pretty expensive. But it does deserve a high PE because of the growth. Just that I would wait for a pullback. Looks like a good, solid company, but it's also very small, very risky. Let's go to William, San Jose. How you doing, William?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question for the company Ulta. Ulta is ULTA, and they're a cosmetic company. They had recently pulled back a little bit, so I'm just thinking if this is a good time to put in position. Okay. Time horizon is about a year to 2 years.
Okay. Is Ultra Beauty, Inc. This is a pretty big company, even though probably not too many people have heard of it. $15, $16 billion company. They're going to make $9.89. That's the estimate for 2019. 2018, $8.32, and this year, $6.52. And they're growing their sales 20 to 25% pretty consistently. Another company that deserves a high PE. It deserves it because of the growth. Now, this stock has fallen from 314 or so down to 251. It's been trading sideways for about almost a month. And that sideways movement looks like it's starting to move up. I think this looks like a good buy point. On a chart, this looks like a really good buy point to me. Okay. On the fundamentals, they look like they're doing very well. So I kind of like both aspects, but you are going to have to pay a little bit pricey. It's a $251 stock going to make $9.89. Let's just say it made $10. That's a 25 PE. I think that's pretty reasonable for the sales growth. So I kind of like this one, cool. William.
All right, thank you so much.
And I like it where it is, so I give you a thumbs up to buy it now. Now, of course, with the market falls, this will fall too, but it looks like it's already had its pullback. We'll see. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. Don't hold back. Get in touch. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now, directly, 4 to 5 Pacific Time on Invest Talk. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Hitembra in Fremont. How you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call.
I wanted to get your opinion on this stock, ticker symbol is TEVA, T-E-V-A. I invested in this in June, and all of a sudden in a week, this stock has fallen about 50%.
Oh, I know. Since I invested the same time frame. I'm very familiar with it.
That's funny. It seems like there won't be a need for generic earth anymore the way the stock has been falling.
I know. It's way oversold, Hitembra. And today was the first day it had any hint after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down days. But each down day was a little less and a little less and a little less. And today it finally went up a little bit, up 11 cents, not a lot, after being killed. I'm holding on. Let's just put it this way, Hintimbra. I'm holding on to my shares right now. I will probably sell it back on a decent move up, because I hold it in one of my accounts that is focused purely on dividends, and they were paying a great dividend, but not anymore since they cut them. So I probably will sell it out of that once we get a bounce, and I'll have to look at the fundamentals. Because really, the sales of their sales really were actually up 12%, 13% year over year for the quarter. Earnings were only down a little bit. It was the cutting out of the dividend, I think, that killed it. Because a lot of people bought it for that dividend. You can't cut the dividend 75% and expect dividend holders to just take it lying down. They sold hard. But I would hold it at this stage. Too late now to get out. Okay?
I know, but today, if someone wants to invest in, you would put in new money to work at this price?
If you want to be brave, this is where you would buy it. I'd probably wait to let it trade sideways for a while to see, make sure it's done with the selling. That's probably what I would do if I was looking to buy it. I'm not going to be buying it since I already own it. So, thanks for the call, Timber. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jack in Walnut Creek. How are you doing, Jack?
Yes. Hi, Steve. Thank you very much for a wonderful program.
Thank you.
Just wondering your opinion on New Senior Investment Group, SNR. I know it's taken a little bit of a hit the last week or so.
Yes. It went from $10 to about $9. So let's see. It bounced up today after falling hard percentage-wise. It's a REIT, everybody, a real estate investment trust that acquires, owns, manages 154 senior housing properties in 37 states. I can tell you, I like that area. For some reason, I like that area because the baby boomers, we're all going to need more baby boomers. I'm one of those, right? And we're all going to need senior housing, more senior housing. The company is not a big company. This one isn't. $752 million in market cap. It's going to make $1.19. It's a $9 stock, and they're going to have to, for a REIT, they're going to pay 90% of that. And so 90% out of earnings, that they have of $1.19 is going to be, like 95 cents or so, 92 cents. And that means it's about paying about a little over 10% yield. And it looks like that yield is not in danger. I will say that sales recently have fallen a little bit. Not sure why. Earnings are holding up, but it looks like it's setting itself up for a buying opportunity to me. I don't know if I buy it right here, because I'd like to see some more evidence that this is the bottom. It's not going to go down far, but this would be the price. Are you thinking about buying it, Jack?
I'm considering that, yes.
Yeah, this would be the area that looks like a good bottom. It fell to about $8.40 or so back in last November. And so that's probably very strong support. And right now it has hit support, but not as strong as that one. So you want to just wait to make sure this is done with this fall. It looks like it has. The last couple of days, it looks like it's trying to stabilize to me. Okay? Good luck, Jack. Hope you work. SNR is a symbol, everybody. New Senior Investment Group. Okay. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's wrong with mutual funds? Well, there's nothing really wrong with mutual funds, but that's our talking point today. Some of the problems with mutual funds is, number one, the fees. Some of them have loads. You never want to pay a load. That's nothing more than a commission. It can be as 5%. I've seen them as high as 6%. You don't want back-end loads. Those are 1% a year for 5 years. You don't want those either. No loads. They also have 12B1 fees. You got to watch out for those. They don't call those as loads for some reason, even though it's just a different way that they're taking money out of your pocket and giving it to the brokers. Some mutual funds are not very diversified. You think that they are. They're not. You got to look and see what's inside them. They are not tax efficient usually. You just got to be careful. I'm not complaining or saying mutual funds are terrible, but this day and age with ETFs, they're usually ETFs are usually cheaper, and if you're going to index, why not go that route? So just be careful of what you're buying. Understand how much it's costing, how they get paid. So that you know some of those funds cost two and a half. I never seen anything over three, but I've seen them as high as 2.6, 2.7%. So be careful. We're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your question into the program. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and their new Disciplined Equity Program. This is an addition to KPP's select investment programs, and it raises expectations. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies. And although the portfolio is concentrated, it limits exposure to any one sector of the market. Check it out if you're interested. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com or click on Contact Steve and he'll gladly fill you in about it. As with all of KPP's programs, a KPP financial principal is personally invested right alongside their clients. This is parallel investing and it's your assurance of optimum care and diligence. The new Disciplined Equity Program from KPP Financial. Now let's get back to the podcast. Now back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your question now. Is there a way to get outside help managing my 401k? When do I roll it over after changing jobs? What's your money question? Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Talk to Dan. Hi, Dan, San Diego.
Hi, Steve. I'm glad to hear you're doing good.
I was
calling about WK, Whiskey Kilo. Friend okay. and I were looking at it.
Okay. This is Workiva, Inc. Workiva. I think I'm saying that right. Develop software.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it either.
Yeah, Workiva. It's a very small company. $587 million. That's a micro cap. Whenever you hear me, Dan, say it's a very small company, it's a micro cap, that should automatically in your mind says, okay, it's risky. Therefore, if it's risky, it's got to have some really good numbers to justify the risk. So let's look at the numbers. Okay, they're going to lose 73 cents this year. They're going to lose 63 cents next year, and they're going to lose 45 cents a share the year after that. Sales are growing about 15-16%, but they're not going to make any money. It's a $19 stock, and I have no way of valuing it. I would not buy it because, of they're not making money. But they develop software that enables enterprises to collaborate collectively, manage and analyze critical business data. Okay, so that's what they do. Go ahead.
It's being used by a lot of big firms, Steve. J.P. Morgan, that kind of stuff.
Well,
so I'm wondering, this might be early to get in, but keep an eye on it.
Yeah, if you want to take a shot, okay, I have no problem with people taking some of their money, their risk money, and throwing it at something like this that's growing nicely its sales but hasn't made profits. But you have to have that mental outlook that this is money that I'm probably going to lose. If you have that mental outlook, then you don't put too much money in it, and you don't worry about it if it doesn't work out. If it works out,
right.
you could have 1,000% return if it works. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have that. But those are rare, not common, rare.
That $19 just seems mighty high for a stock even though the income's going up, still seems.
Well, the income's not going up, sales is, but income is not, but the losses are getting less and smaller and smaller going forward. So eventually they'll hopefully turn it around. My gut feeling, most of these kinds of companies, Dan, get bought. I mean, think about it. It's $587 million. Someone could write a check. Apple wouldn't even notice that. That's like pocket change, you know?
I mean, it would.
They make that much money in like a half a day, you know? So,
but yeah, but I think it's just a couple minutes. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, Steve.
Appreciate the call, Dan. Thank you. That was WK, everybody. Workiba. Workiba. 888-99-CHART. I had an email, very interesting email that came in. It says, and this is from Dan. With regard to your latest email about tech red flags, he's responding to me. What correlations are there between the U.S. tech stocks and the rising popularity of Chinese tech stocks? For instance, Baidu and Baba and all those other. While these tech stocks have had enormous growth runs already over the last year, in addition to U.S. tech stocks, they seem to appear less affected by the minor pullbacks we've experienced over the summer. My guesses would be that they are less popular when it comes to institutional buying and selling. They are not American stocks and thus are less likely to be the more popular index funds. And what they are, these are Chinese stocks. So they would not necessarily correlate with our stocks going up and down. All stocks go up and down based on earnings, right? We all know that. And so the Chinese stocks, it's the same thing. Now, if their economy goes in the tank and ours doesn't, those stocks will go down, vice versa. So they will move differently, okay? But these are the big Chinese tech stocks that our tech stocks will probably compete against, and here in the United States and us in China, depending on how open their market is. But, you know, don't necessarily fall in love with them. They've had some really good runs already. So you have much more risk in foreign companies than you do in domestic companies because they don't have the same rules. They don't have the same GAAP rules, general accounting principle rules, as we do. So now some of them trade on our exchanges. Those Baba and Baidu, for instance, they trade on our exchanges, and those do follow GAAP rules, allegedly. Okay, the weakness we've had, we saw this week, and pretty strong weakness yesterday, and everybody thinks it's all about North Korea and saber rattling and all that stuff. I'm thinking that maybe it's not. I think people are just using that as an excuse, you know, for what they really want to do. And one of the reasons, there's several reasons. One is, you know, August is not known for the best returns. August, September, October are known for more volatility. And the biggest, the deepest sell-offs in history have come in September and October. And here we are in August. Maybe people are just taking some money off the tables this week. Maybe they're just using it as an excuse. Margin debt, meaning people borrowing money to buy stocks, is very high, near record highs, and brokerage houses in the last couple of weeks are starting to tighten their margin requirements, meaning they don't want to lend more money, meaning that people have to sell stuff to give back the money to the company. Okay, and the internals of the entire market seem to be crumbling a little bit. For instance, did you know the Russell 2000 is actually down for the year? You wouldn't know that listening to the headline news because the S&P 500 and the Dow are up. They're up pretty good. But not the whole market is. You got the Russell 2000, which is 2,000 small cap stocks. They're down for the year. Usually the small cap stocks lead the big cap stocks. Now, are they leading down? They should have been leading up if the market's up. So the breadth of the market, and I've mentioned this before, is narrow, and it's getting narrower. Those are not positive things. Now, you've heard me, you know, been warning somewhat, okay, and I'm sure Justin's doing the same thing. We're warning you about things in the market. And one of the things that I've always believed is everybody's worried about the market, like me, then the market's probably going to be okay. You know, because if too many people are worried about it, they've already gotten out. Now they have money sitting on the sidelines. We got to get back in. That money sitting on the sidelines, that has to get back in, is supportive of the market and will keep it from falling. So there's part of me, I'm nervous about the market, but part of me says, you know, you can't be out of the market. You just can't. Because no one really knows. When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Sell it, downsize, fix it up. Now you have another source of answers for your real estate questions. Get a note to your onboard license. You can get a note to our real estate consultant here. Justin Klein is a licensed realtor. Be happy to talk to you at investtalk.com. And if you send him a note, he will get back to you.
The successful investor is not perfect, but is an independent thinker who pursues information and truth without bias and never stops learning. Asking questions is always part of the process. Make a call right now with your question. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is here for you at 888-99-CHART or ask him privately. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I am looking at a stock. The symbol is CERN, Cerner Corporation. I wanted to see what would be a good entry point for the stock and what your opinion is, whether this would be something to get into and what the overall picture is. I'll be listening to your show for the answer. Thanks.
Okay, Cerner Corporation and from North Kansas City, Missouri, they are a $20 billion company, so they're not small, they're big. Develops medical record, clinical workflow, and financial management software for the healthcare providers. Okay, so they're the tech behind the healthcare providers. They're gonna make $2.50 next year after $2.30 this year, and then the year after $2.78, and it's a $62 stock. Therefore, it's expensive. It is expensive. Sales growth is 7 to 11%, somewhere in that range in a recent year or two. So that's pretty good for a $20 billion company. But you're going to have to pay up for it. You're going to have to pay up for it. It's going to be about a 25 PE or so. And the five-year range is 20 to 43. Return on equity is very good at 20%. It's a good, solid company. Does not pay any dividends. Management owns 13%. And it's rolled over. It was close to $69 a share. Now it's $62. It looks like it's pulling back. And I think it's going to pull back into the 50s. I really think it will. Has really strong support at $49 a share. Really strong support. But there's a 200-day moving average is 57, and that usually acts as a pretty strong support line, too. I think it's going to pull back into the 50s, and I think that would be a good place to buy it. Okay? Cerner, C-E-R-N is a symbol, C-E-R-N. Okay, the Producer Price Index and the Consumer Price Index. These are inflation gauges, right? Okay, the Producer Price Index is inflation at the wholesale level. And inflation at the wholesale level fell 0.1%. Consumer price is what we pay for it. What was inflation at our level? It was up 0.1%. Core inflation, up 0.1%. There is no inflation in the system. There's no hint that it's building. There's no hint that it's going to take off yet. Not yet, and maybe someday, but not yet. And remember what the Fed is supposed to do. It's supposed to control inflation and foster a growing economy. Okay, they don't say that. That's their double duty, controlling inflation and keeping the economy growing. How do they do that? Well, they have that blunt instrument called interest rates. They have one rate they control, the overnight rate to the banks. And they've been raising those rates. Usually when the Fed raises the rates, they're trying to slow down inflation by slowing down the economy. Increasing rates, interest rates, takes money out of the system and slows down the economy. Slowing the economy down means inflation gets reduced. Now, They have other instruments, but that's the one main instrument they use. And they've been raising rates for like a year, right? Why? There's no... Do you think our economy is overheating? Heck no, it's not even got to a really warm spot ever since the big recession. Do you think inflation is heating up? There's no high hint of inflation. So they're just raising rates because they feel like raising rates. That's why. They feel like raising rates because they want a higher rate, a more quote-unquote normal rate, and I'm not sure what normal rate means anymore, so that if we do go into recession, they can reduce the rate to try to spur the economy. But what if their raising rates causes the recession? They're kind of walking a tightrope here. They're doing a pretty good job so far, but I'm concerned that they get too aggressive raising rates. Now, their next meeting is not, what, until, what, September? So, I don't know, pretty far away. So, they don't have to worry about it right now. But I see no justification for them to raise rates at this point. Now, let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Rob calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. The other day, you were talking about the CAPE, C-A-P-E, Robert Shiller's CAPE ratio. I've been following that for a number of years. I'm a big advocate of it, although it doesn't take the risk-free rate into consideration. Pretty worried about where the markets are right now, as are you, as you disclosed on the program. Wanted to see if there's any correlation with the CAPE ratio and the business cycle that we're in right now. And I'm kind of confused as what type of cycle we're in. With stocks and the market being overvalued and the Fed increasing inflation, are we in expansion? Are we in the trough? Are we in pre-recession? What business cycle are we in? And is there any correlation with the business cycle and the Shiller CAPE? Thank you very much. I'll listen to the answer on podcast.
Yes, CAPE ratio, C-A-P-E, is the cyclical adjusted P-E ratio. And what that is it takes the last 10 years of earnings of the S&P 500 and apply it to the price of the S&P 500. And see what that P.E. is based on the last 10 years. And yes, in 1929, it was over 30. In 2000, it was over 30. And today, it's over 30. There's only three times in history it's been over 30. And usually, in a strong growing economy, you get the CAPE ratio rises. Why? Because earnings rise. The economy grows for several years. Earnings rise. But the stock price rises faster than earnings. Faster. And that's what you saw. 1929, you had the roaring 20s. Stock prices went crazy. In 2000, 1999, 98, 99, before 2000, the dot-com era exploded stock prices up. That's why. Now, no one knows what over 30, how much over 30 it needs to be. I think it was 32 in 1929 and 34 in 2000. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. Let's go ahead and talk to Keith in San Diego. How are you doing, Keith?
Hello, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
I'm interested in your thoughts about Smart Sand, ticker symbol SND. In terms primarily of, do you think that this is a stock that would be a good one to buy at the bottom here for a rebound on the upside? And do you think that do you think it's going to continue to go down as it seems to be going?
Okay, let's take a look at Smart Sand Inc. Everybody, they provide pure play, high quality Northern White raw frac sand. Used in hydraulic fracturing of oil and natural gas wells. So it's a fairly new company. It's only been out, what, a year? Not even a year, has it? Doesn't even look like
it.
No. I'm thinking that why, let's take a look at the chart on this. Okay, yeah. So what normally happens, it came out last November. So it's been just a little over 9 months or so. And the sellers have been selling it. They got as high as $20. The IPO price was $11, and now today it's at $5. So it, and this is typical, Keith. IPOs 6 months after they come out or so usually sell below their IPO price. It's very common. They're going to make 42 cents this year and $1.12 next year. That tells you the stock is really inexpensive. Recent sales have increased 251% the most recent quarter, this most recent quarter of June. Before that was 142%, before that was 94%, before that was 21%. So it's moving in the right direction. A year ago, the sales were falling. So your question is can they keep that up? And the answer is no. They can't keep that sales growth up. That is probably not going to happen. But is the stock cheap enough to be an owner of it? And that answer might be yes, but it's still falling. You got to wait till the stock's falling, Keith. Remember, it's a micro-cap company. It's really small, so it's high risk. Micro-cap, $200 million. Wait till the stock's falling.
It has the potential.
It does have potential because earnings are going up sharply. Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to go to Ruby in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. This is regarding the stock BTI symbol.
Okay.
British American Tobacco.
Yes.
BTI.
Yes.
So, would like to know what is the risk involved, what is the upside you see in this stock?
Okay. Now, BTI, British American Tobacco, ADR. ADR tells you that is from outside the United States, and this is from United Kingdom. But it's trading on our exchanges. It's a UK-based manufacturer of tobacco products sold under more than 200 brand names worldwide. They are a very solid company looking at the fundamentals. They're not growing sales, well, 1%, I guess you could say. But it is a $117 billion company. It's a mega-cap company. Earnings are going to go up $33.49 this year. That's 10% higher than last year. And another 20% higher next year to $4.21. They pay a 3.6% dividend, very high return on equity. It's a $62 stock. That tells you that this is a 15 PE. Their five-year range is 13 to 23. Pretty good bargain, Ruby. Now, on a chart, it's just hit the 200-day moving average. If it holds this, and that's right at $62, if it holds that area, this would be strong support. Strong support right here. So wait a few days, see if it holds the support. And if it is, it'd be a good time to buy. Doesn't mean it won't go down, but it is strong support right here. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. BTI is the symbol, everybody. BTI. We only have 1 minute. I want to get quick to the chart that worries everybody. The 10-year Treasury pays 2.24%. No risk. Junk bonds in Europe pay 2.42 with huge amount of risk. That is not right. Something's wrong there. It's a bad thing. Time's up for the hour. The next date on my checkup calendar is August 23rd. I'll be in San Jose all day on August 23rd. To reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button there, and we'll see if we can set up an appointment for you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPB Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPB family, thanks for being with us today. And let's get together again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.